Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We are joined now by David Grom. He is a researcher at the Committee for Accuracy in the Middle East Reporting and Analysis in the Arabic Department. And we wanted to talk about BBC specifically and their Arabic channel. It's really, really quite challenging to try and understand what is going on there. Very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. What specifically has raised the concerns about the BBC Arabic and some of their guests in recent cases?
Hi, thank you for having me. So what's recently been appearing in UK news outlets is actually quite an old phenomenon. It's the use of contributors in the BBC's Arabic channel who are brought in the capacity of experts or commentators or pundits to talk about Israel and Israel's relations with its neighbors and Iran and so on, when these contributors have actually been maintaining social media accounts which reveal them as hateful and utterly anti-Semitic. The most recent example is a man named Ali Matar, who has appeared multiple times in BBC Arabic as a commentator in the capacity of what they call the lecturer of international relations in Lebanon. And this individual would analyze, quote unquote, would analyze the situation between Hezbollah and Israel, and what the BBC wouldn't tell its audience that this man is actually a Hezbollah mouthpiece, and everybody who go to Ali Matar's X account would realize that right away, because every now and then he publishes pictures of Nasrallah with roses and glitter.
Right. So, this, as you said, has been going on for a while, but are they isolated incidents over a while, or is this now a recurring pattern about how BBC Arabic has platformed contributors?
This is very much a pattern. It has been going on for years. Ali Matar is just the last. Personally, as an institution, we have revealed at least a dozen of these individuals, of these so-called contributors, since the beginning of the Gaza war on October 7th. People who denied October 7th atrocities, people who made anti-Semitic expressions on other channels. This particular person spoke also about the cowardice and the fear of the Jews' fear and cowardice. And he also expressed hope that the events of Khaybar, which is a massacre where Jewish tribes were massacred in the 7th century, would repeat itself by Hezbollah's hands. He also filmed his then 10-year-old son on the 9th of October 2023, meaning 2 days after the massacre, the October 7th massacre, praising the jihad of the Palestinians, and all of this was available on his X account, and even now that these details have been revealed to the BBC, the BBC still refuses to commit that it would stop inviting this individual to talk about Israel and Lebanon. So we We believe that this is this indicates further the deep bias and the deep institutional problem that the BBC has, and specifically its Arabic channel has, and the Arabic channel's refusal, ongoing refusal to. To address this problem.
Where does the editorial responsibility lie?
The editorial responsibility lies first and foremost by doing minimal background check about these individuals, mm-hmm. instead of inviting them automatically. And if they are indeed, there are some cases that some expressions that people who make them should not be treated as though they are impartial observers or commentators about the situation. And even if others who are not as hateful are invited to talk with the BBC, they should be challenged their views as expressed in other channels that are not the BBC, like their social media, like other TV channels and other radio channels, should be challenged and held accountable for what they've said in the past. The fact that somebody speaks more softly on the BBC does not mean that they should not be held accountable for more extreme stuff that they've said in the past.
Right. So the challenge is, of course, partly is because of the language barrier, meaning that sort of controversial statements in Arabic don't receive the same scrutiny maybe in English. But how much leeway is acceptable between, you know, understanding of language, use of language? Is that a rationale or a justification at all?
At this rate, it does not justify the level of hatred and bias that currently exists in BBC Arabic. It cannot be explained away just by language gaps. There are many things that are being broadcast in BBC Arabic that would not be tolerated in any other language the BBC, as far as Israel and Jews and Israelis are concerned. This is not an excuse. This is the BBC's. So now it's no longer editorial policy. This is the BBC's management policy to offer adequate oversight over the Arabic service, which they do not have right now.
Just a final takeaway is if you could summarize the core problem. Is it about bias? Is it a governance? Is it accountability? What would you say the core issue at the BBC is specifically with regard to BBC Arabic?
I think it's all of the above, but at the core of it all, there is the dismissiveness towards evidence, hard evidence that has been presented for several years. And really unwillingness to see it for what it is, which is a trend, a pattern, a policy, and not dozens and dozens of isolated cases, as the BBC management would like its English-speaking audience to think.
That is where we leave it. Give me your thoughts on 061-895-1019. We've been speaking to David Grom, researcher at the Committee for Accuracy in Middle East Reporting and Analysis in the Arabic Department.